Now, the Jeremy Kyle Show, I'll put my cards on the table here, and you don't just see it in the morning. You could see the Jeremy Kyle Show on repeat at various times of the day. So most people will have an idea of the type of programme that Jeremy Kyle presents. I have tried to watch it from time to time. I can't have that form of controversial, in-your-face, ripping each other apart television. I just find it depressing. But millions love it, and this is the important thing. Millions love it, and now a man has died after having been on the programme. If you're not familiar with the style of Jeremy Kyle, this is what they do.
What do you mean when you say I'd like to have a baby by any means?
Yeah, because he's trying to say that. I've trolled it on with him, trolled it on
have
with
you?
All these men. No. Obviously.
Are you desperate to have a baby?
No. Oh. I want a baby, yeah, but there's otherwise I don't have to go and sleep with a man to go and get pregnant.
Stacey, you've even turned around and told... You've even turned around.
Do it.
Absolutely.
You've even turned around and told me in
joking. Shut your mouth.
You see, it's in your face and it's draining if you're watching it, is my opinion. It absolutely drains us. So to take part in it must be quite stressful. And it certainly proved to be stressful for one person in particular, because a man has died, a 62-year-old grandfather. He was found dead days after what his friends describe as being humiliated and traumatised on the Jeremy Kyle Show when he failed a lie detector test on the programme. Now, his landlady has been commenting, and she says that's how he felt. Stephen Diamond, he died in a suspected suicide after filming an episode of this daytime chat show. He'd been on there with his on-and-off girlfriend, Jean Callaghan, who talks in the Sun about him today and says that she did love him, even though he treated her like a pig. Now, he is said to have been left devastating and feeling suicidal after being confronted in the TV studio at Media City in Salford about allegations of infidelity. And that's pretty typical stuff within the programme, you know. One has a go at the other, both have an argument, and those who like it sort of cheer them on from the sidelines. To me, it's a bit like bear baiting, but however, it may be hugely popular and entertaining television. Tina Calder likes it. Tina, good morning.
Good morning.
Tina, you're a fan. You're a fan of the show.
I wouldn't say that I'm one of those fans that tune in on a regular basis, and I have to say it's a terribly, terribly tragic situation that we're in the fact that a gentleman has taken his own life. Seemingly, we aren't sure of that as yet. But taking the show as it is, and we take it alongside things like Jerry Springer and all of the other ones, which I was a fan of back in the day. And I think we have to really accept the fact that there is this culture and this need for people watching, and almost, you know, there's this idea that people want to see how human interaction happens, and they are intrigued and interested and curious about that. And we can't ignore the fact that millions of people have watched this show. I think this gentleman was failed by a number of people along the way. I think he was failed by the woman who seemingly brought him on the show, Jean Callaghan. She should have known what kind of mental state he was in. His doctor, who then gave him a letter to say he was fit for attending the show. Then there is the production crew, who have a ridiculous amount of guidelines of which they have to adhere to in order to ensure that someone is okay to appear on a show like this. And then you have to ask yourself, well, what about those questions? Or what about those friends who apparently saw him in pain afterwards, who saw him sobbing, who encountered the hurt that he was going through? So we have to ask ourselves lots of questions about the fact that this man seemed to have been failed many, many times along the way. And of course, then there is the other issue of he apparently had stopped taking the morphine that he was prescribed for his arthritis because he was worried that it would affect the lie detector test. Now, I'm sorry, no one around him, including his doctor and the production crew, should have accepted that. And certainly someone who claimed that they loved him, you know, and so there is questions as to whether or not that morphine overdose was a deliberate attempt on his own life or whether it was accidental. Of course, we don't know that, but we have to make assumptions that he did speak about suicide prior to his death. And then I wonder, you know, we're talking about pulling the whole show off. It's been pulled off the website from what I can gather. And yet there we have Love Island, which I believe is far more dangerous. And it has had two contestants who have died. And there's been no implications at all. In fact, there's really no difference in the shows. They both explore, for entertainment purposes, that intricate human and social relationships. And yet there's Love Island back, you know, this summer.
No, I'm in a bit of a void here because I've never seen Love Island. I'm aware of what they do, but the few moments of it that I've caught, I get the impression that people are in the lap of luxury, that they are being given opportunities to meet new partners, that it seems like a place that a lot of young people would like to be on Love Island, interacting with the beautiful people. Whereas I don't know anyone who would want to be in the Jeremy Kyle studio.
The Love Island would seem to be paradise, but it is created in a way that pushes people to emotional ends. You know, it puts people in stressful situations. It puts people in situations where they're uncomfortable, where they're feeling awkward, where they are confused, where they don't know how they feel about their own desires or loves or lusts or whatever you want to call that. So, I mean, Love Island, you know, to me is not different. It's just using a completely different method to push people's emotional, I suppose, psyche to its absolute end. Maybe because it's prettier and it's in a beach and it's, you know, gorgeous, good-looking people in bikinis. Maybe that's why it's more palatable to us. But in reality, there's no difference. It's people watching people be hurt, be traumatized, be curious about how they react emotionally, how they react physically, how they deal with that, you know, what the mental implications might be. Neither of these two shows are different, in my opinion, and that goes for all reality TV. It is developed for one specific reason, and that is for people watching and for us to really, you know, it is that freak show idea. You know, we want to see how other humans react in stressful situations.
Tina, it's a very interesting analysis of it, and you still want to watch it, don't you? You still want to watch it, even though you're incredibly negative about the concept. Just briefly.
I hate to say it, yeah. It's like that, you know, where you just cannot help watching it. And I remember when Big Brother first started, and I was absolutely glued to the psychology. The psychology of these programs absolutely captured me. And I'm not going to pretend that I wasn't entertained by them. I'm not going to pretend that for one second, because it would be ridiculous. I've spent 20 years as a tabloid journalist. I know what people want to see. I know what people want to read and to consume. And this is the type of thing that they want to see. And that's why there has been 3,000 episodes since 2005. That's over 200 episodes a year. There's a reason ITV continued to take it on. And I don't believe that it's gone forever. I'd be very surprised if it doesn't come back.
Okay. Tina, thank you. A mad lust, indeed, to people watch. And that is, in many ways, part of the problem. Tina Calder, thank you. I'll speak to media commentator Anthony Miller about this in just a moment.
There are now more ways than ever to listen to U105. Tune in on FM, DAB, online, on your mobile, and now you can ask your voice-activated speaker to play U105. Alexa, play U105. Try it now.
At QuickFit, we want you to have complete peace of mind. That's why right now, we're giving away a free dash cam worth $79.99 to every customer who buys two or more Michelin tyres. Just book online or head down to your local QuickFit today and drive away happy with a free dash cam. For terms and conditions, visit quickfit.com.
It's big, it's bold, it's Charlhurst's best stock clearance event ever. Because we're reducing our used car stock by over £1 million, giving you massive savings on every single car. Choose from over 3,000 quality used cars, all Charlhurst approved and ready to go. Top trade-ins, budget buys and fabulous finance deals every day throughout May and June. We can even send you a personal video of any car straight to your phone. Yes, everything must go. Call in or visit charlshurstgroup.co.uk today.
The end is nigh. It's almost here. The end is nigh.
Thing is, he's right. It's almost at an end. So you'd better prepare, because when the £1 million annual clearance sale at Connolly's of Moy ends this Sunday, it's all over. Prepare now before it all ends.
At this year's Balmoral Show, there's a feast of fresh, local goodies at the Spar Stand. And once you sample some, you'll know why we get 75% of our fresh food from hundreds of local suppliers. Savour local freshness with Spar, platinum sponsor of the Balmoral Show.
Belfast Waterfront proudly presents Catherine Jenkins, OBE, May 27th. Britain's best-selling classical artist, accompanied by the Ulster Orchestra. Catherine Jenkins. Tickets on sale now from Ticketmaster and waterfront.co.uk.
Do you know about new legislation for houses in multiple occupation? Are you setting up or ending an existing tenancy? Landlord Advice NI is a free and confidential service that can advise on multiple occupancy, damages, rent arrears, universal credit and more. If you're a registered residential landlord, a professional estate and managing agent, or wondering about renting out a property, phone now on 90 245 640, Monday to Friday, 9:30 to 2:30, or email advice at landlordadviceni.org.
Eden & Ross stunning kitchens and beautiful bathrooms, fully fitted by our in-house team. We supply and fit everything from start to finish, and usually in 1 week. Whatever the style, we have something for you. Call today and make an appointment, or click on edenandross.com. Eden & Ross, kitchens and bathrooms made easy.
For the latest travel news, check u105.com or follow at u105 radio.
Drivers, here's a deal you won't want to miss. At QuickFit, we want you to have complete peace of mind. That's why right now, we're giving away a free dash cam worth £79.99 to every customer who buys two or more Michelin tyres. Just book online at quickfit.com or head down to your local QuickFit today and drive away happy with a free dash cam. For terms and conditions, visit quickfit.com.
Anthony Miller, media commentator. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm very well, Anthony. Are you a fan of Jeremy Kyle?
I'm most certainly not. No, I'm not. I mean, like everybody, I have to hold my hands up. I have from time to time watched it. And every time I watch it, I come off again just as disgusted as I was the first time I saw it. I think it's a terrible blight, actually, on our society that we're almost normalizing these things now. You know, we normalize things by making them visual, and we're bringing people's lives onto the television. These people creating their 15 minutes of fame and selling their souls, you know. And what we forget is, whilst we've, you know, had our little voyeuristic experience of it, those people have to go back to their real lives afterwards. And here we have what appears to be what I would have thought an inevitable result. I'm surprised, actually, it has taken so long for this to happen. You know, you're putting these people on a stage in front of a live studio audience and beaming them across the country whilst they play out the darkest moments of their lives. And it's absolutely, it's dreadful. And I know Tina Calder was on before and she compared it to the likes of Big Brother and Love Island. But people enter those, they know they're going into a television studio, which is what the houses are. They're going in to perform, and they're going in with strangers, and it's not their real life as such that's being beat out on screen. And I think the problems that comes with those people is the lifestyle afterwards. They're shot into stardom. But these people that come on the Jeremy Kyle, they don't get any of the upsides of it. They don't get the stardom. They don't get the money. They don't get the luxury. They stay a night before in a cheap hotel. They're brought onto the television. their deepest, darkest, most personal moments are dragged out, and then they bring in these lie detector tests. You know, a lie detector test is not acceptable as evidence, but yet we have these people making life decisions on the back of them. I could go on for days probably about it, Frank. I don't approve.
Yeah, there are very strict rules and regulations, of course, as far as the TV production's concerned, and the rules and regulations will be adhered to and have been adhered to by the people who work on the Jeremy Kyle show, and a major investigation will be carried out now into this specific show to see what happened and how much the programme is linked to the actual sad death of the participant. Yeah. And there'll also be counselling available for people who work on the programme, because it's a very stressful time for those who are making television for people who want to be entertained. And there's no question about it. Millions of people want to be entertained. I don't understand them. I personally wouldn't want to work on the programme, and I wouldn't want to appear on the programme, and I certainly wouldn't want to present the programme, and I would not want in any way to be a guest on the programme. But that's me. There are millions who want to be on and who want to see those who are on. There's a mindset in the world that craves seeing inside other people's lives, and the dirty laundry being washed in public. It's like peeping into your neighbour's bedroom. It's disgusting, but we do it. Well, I should emphasise. I should emphasise, however, that I don't peep into my neighbour's bedroom. But you know what I mean.
But like, just because there's a thirst for it doesn't mean that we should be supplying the demand. There's a thirst for many a perverse and weird fetish across the world, but they're not all on daytime television. And I think we, you know, our broadcasters, and we just, as a society in general, I think we at some stage have to reintroduce standards. And I mean societal standards. I'm not talking about rules and regulations. I mean just where we have to say, that's not good enough. We don't want that anymore, and raise the bar. I mean, when I think back to there was chat shows back in the earlier days, and even they were controversial, but they were nowhere near as bad as what is trailed out on television now. And it seems to be that the qualification to get on there is it has to be all the more controversial. It has to be better than last season. It has to be another level of depravity. And I just, where does it end? Where does it end? I think we need to now look at this as, you know, that this poor man, by the way, if his family and friends are listening, I give my condolences to them. They must be absolutely broken. But I'm more surprised that this is the first, if it is actually as a result, of course, of being on the show. But I'm more surprised that this is the first suicide, because, you know, this has been going on for such a long time, and so many lives, you know, like I say, we're watching them for their 15 minutes, but they've got to go back to the real world. And quite often they've been reduced to almost volatile situations where security guards have had to get in between them. You can't tell me that they leave the studio and everything just goes back to, you know, a garden of roses. It can't possibly be. So it surprises me that this is the first headline of this sort.
Okay. Anthony, it is very sad indeed to be talking about the death of a man who was contributing to a programme that is meant to be entertaining us, Steve Diamond, the man we're talking about. Anthony Miller, thank you very, very much indeed. 02890 333 105, 077 66 105 105. Interesting text from a man called Brian in Lisburn. He says, won't be long till bonfires get a mention on your show, Frank. Keep up the useless work. I didn't mention bonfires, Brian. You did. Now they've had a mention because you mentioned them, Brian. But then he goes on to say, you still haven't replied to two letters I sent you. And then equality for all in capital letters. I do recall Brian's letters. It's something about the Ballymacash bonfire a few years ago. And I think Brian annually writes to me expecting some sort of detailed reply to a very detailed letter. It's an issue that I dealt with on the radio, Brian. You heard it dealt with on the radio, and it doesn't merit a detailed reply with someone sitting down and writing a letter, putting it in the post and sending it off to you. If you do want to email me, I'll strike a deal with you here. Email me and I'll give you a brief reply, but it's wearing listening to what you've written or reading out what you've written, and it's wearing viewing your text again this morning. But thank you nonetheless, Brian, for tuning our way. Thank you. Right, we're heading towards the news at 10 o'clock.